Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. We're glad that you could be with us. I'm Bill McKeever, the founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson. And we've been discussing the Mormon teaching of families and how families are forever according to the Mormon scheme of things. Recently, Eric and I had visited a Mormon visitor center and had a very pleasant conversation with three sister missionaries after watching a film on how families are forever. And so we decided to ask them some questions. But we kind of used as a segue yesterday a statement made by Mormon Apostle Jeffrey Holland, which is found in the introductory video of several Mormon temple openings that we've been to. I've heard this interview several times, having visited numerous Mormon temples. But Jeffrey Holland made this comment. He said, "I don't know how to speak about heaven in the traditional lovely paradisiacal beauty that we speak of heaven. I wouldn't know how to speak of heaven without my wife, my children. It would not be heaven for me." Now, of course, coming from a biblical worldview, to hear someone say something like that was just horrifying. I mean, I do think that Jeffrey Holland probably believes that he's going to have some kind of presence of God there, but yet to say that that's not enough if his wife or children is not there, to me, just sounded terrible. And I'm sure that a lot of Mormons hearing this probably thought, how sweet, doesn't that show that he really loves his wife? Well, I love my wife too. I love my kids. I love my grandkids, and I have every hope of seeing them in eternity because they are all believers. But it made me wonder, why in the world would Jeffrey Holland make a statement like that? If you are in the presence of Jesus, is there really anything that can compare to that? But yet we find that Mormons don't often talk about Jesus when it comes to the hereafter. And the idea of this Christian practice of worshiping Jesus and being in his presence and adoring our Lord for all that he did for us is certainly not something that we have heard many Mormons speak highly of.
Well, one of the things that we asked is what she thought of our heaven, and she bristled. This one sister missionary bristled at the idea that she would, here's what she said. She says, "I love to sing, but that's not what I want to do for the rest of eternity." With this misconception that all we do is stand around a throne and all we're doing is singing, and we've heard people talk about harps. And in fact, there's a quote that we have in our book on page 180 of Mormonism 101, a personal email that was to you, Bill. And this person said, "If I had the choice between building a family, which is my greatest joy today, and sitting by a river singing praises to Jesus, I think you can guess which I would choose." Just that very idea that it shows the disdain that the Mormon Church is giving to the traditional viewpoint of what heaven is all about.
And I think if I remember correctly, and this is usually how I answer a Mormon who says something like that, and I tell them that the reason why the idea of just worshiping, being in the presence of our Lord, probably doesn't appeal to you is because I don't think you have the same relationship that I have, because that does mean a lot to me. Now, I don't know what heaven is really all going to be like. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of details of what all is involved there. But in Mormonism, they are given some ideas. And one of the things that we do know is that many Mormon leaders have actually said that when a Mormon qualifies for exaltation, that he is going to get his own world and he is going to be God over that world, the same as all the gods have done before us. They are merely repeating a process that they feel has been going on since eternity past. Now, Brigham Young made this statement. He said, "All those who are counted worthy to be exalted and to become gods, even the sons of God, will go forth and have earths and worlds like those who framed this and millions on millions of others." You can find that in the Journal of Discourses, volume 17, page 143. Now, Brigham Young also said, and this is quoted in The Reflections of Brigham Young on the Nature of Man and the State by a Mormon named J. Keith Melville. It was in BYU Studies, Spring and Summer, 1962, page 257, where Brigham Young said, "The Lord has organized mankind for the purpose of increasing in that intelligence and truth until he is capable of creating worlds on worlds and becoming gods, even the sons of God, believing that the power of choice all intelligent beings inherit from the gods of eternity is innate." So certainly this is an idea that is part of the Mormon hereafter. Then we have Orson Pratt. Orson Pratt, a Mormon apostle, was very open on this idea of men getting worlds. In the Journal of Discourses, for instance, volume 14, page 242, he talks about, "As our Father and God begat us, sons and daughters, so will we rise immortal, males and females, and beget children, and in our turn form and create worlds, and send forth our spirit children to inherit those worlds, the same as we were sent here. And thus will the works of God continue, and not only God himself and his Son Jesus Christ have the power of endless lives, but all of his redeeming offspring."
Well, in the Seer, Bill, page 37, that same Orson Pratt said this: "As soon as each god has begotten many millions of male and female spirits and his heavenly inheritance becomes too small to comfortably accommodate his great family, he, in connection with his sons, organizes a new world after a similar order to the one which we now inhabit, where he sends both the male and female spirits to inhabit tabernacles of flesh and bones." Now, Pratt goes on to say, on that same page, this is what he says, Bill: "The inhabitants of each world are required to reverence, adore, and worship their own personal father who dwells in the heaven which they formerly inhabit." So their heaven revolves around personal adoration of the God that they that was the God of their world.
In other words, if Elohim is the God or creator or organizer, I should say, of this world, planet Earth, and as Mormons are worshiping Elohim,
right,
what Pratt is saying is when this process goes on to the next step and the individual Mormon male becomes a God and he organizes his own world, he's going to create offspring for it. And then those offspring are going to worship him as God, as he is now worshiping Elohim as God.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Now, this would probably explain a little bit better why Jeffrey Holland would make a comment like this, because I have to imagine that if this is really the case, then the God he would probably talk about in this mortality, the one he calls Heavenly Father, and Jesus probably don't play much of a role at all in this eternity of his. Now, does the God of Elohim play any role in Elohim's life, in his eternity? Because remember, this is his reward. This is Elohim's reward for being a good human when he dwelt on a planet similar to Earth. In other words, Mormons believe that we are repeating a process that has been going on since eternity past. We cannot forget that. That's what makes this somewhat have some sense to it, even though it's totally unbiblical and we find no justification for this at all in Holy Writ. But nonetheless, Mormons do believe that they are going to have this ability to redo this process, or not redo, but continue this process that's been going on forever and ever. And if that's the case, then you can see why being with a family would be so important. But here's what's interesting. Both views, whether it's the Mormon view or the biblical view, we would have to agree, if we're going to be consistent, that even though there may be loved ones that we have around us here in this mortality, there's a slight chance, or a very good chance, that they may not be with us in the next life.
Well, let's talk about one of the sisters, the 69-year-old lady who was talking to us.
And she told us she was 69. We didn't ask her.
So. she volunteered that, but she mentioned she had a son who was inactive. She made it a point. He was just inactive and was not living according to the way that Mormonism teaches. And yet she held out hope that someday she was going to still be with him, Bill.
Well,
with her.
She can hold out that hope, but if we're going to be consistent with the teachings of Mormon leaders in their own scripture, there's just no chance for that. Because basically what that individual is doing is procrastinating his repentance. And according to the Book of Mormon, if you procrastinate your repentance even until death, the devil has sealed you his, and that is the final state of the wicked. So she might want to hope for that. But according to the Book of Mormon in Alma 34, certainly that is not going to be the case.
And so maybe they could not, after death and the judgment and everything else, there's no way for them to pull him up.
No, absolutely not. Not if the Book of Mormon is true. There's no way. They have to follow these laws and ordinances, and they have to be consistent. They have to repent of all their sins and keep all the commandments. Every Mormon seems to know that. But when you talk about the family unit, all of a sudden they tend to fudge on that.
So would that, as Jeffrey Holland say, not be heaven for her? Because this son, she seemed to love him very much. If he weren't there and she's basing her idyllic existence in heaven with being with her family, she might not be with everybody in her family.
Well, you would think that would definitely be the case.
Plus, any children that he has, they're not born in the covenant. Maybe right. They're not going to be LDS either down the road. I mean, this could be a very tragic situation.
It could, and it will. Well, even worse is I don't think the lady we talked to even qualified. I don't think any Mormon qualifies to get into the celestial kingdom and to be with their family. But the fact that Jeffrey Holland would say that it would not be heaven for him makes me certainly think that the situation is much different in many regards than what we would believe as Bible-believing Christians. And remember, yesterday we read the statement by James Faust in an article, or I should say in a sermon talk that he gave, conference talk called Eternity Lies Before Us. He says, "The Savior's supernatural gift to mankind gave us the opportunity for eternal life, but eternal life without our loved ones would be bleak." So it doesn't look like it's going to be a very enjoyable heaven in light of that, if this is what they're really saying. If they're not going to be there, then they tend to concur. What Faust is saying and what Holland is saying seem to go along the same lines. Family membership is what's important, but we don't hear a whole lot about Jesus's presence and how they kind of fit him in there can be sometimes very confusing when we're talking to our LDS friends. But suffice it to say, Mormon leaders have made it very clear that if they qualify to become a god, they will get their own world, they will organize their own world, they will be god over that world, and they will be worshipped as god of that world by their offspring, just the same as they are now worshipping Elohim, and they believe that we are his offspring. So certainly there is a difference when it comes to our view of the hereafter.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.